this finance audit facilities planning committee meeting to order. Time is 6:15, 6:18. Can you please call us for some?
Mr. Hernando Rodriguez?
Present.
Ms. Patricia Mendoza?
Here.
Ms. Rachel Quintana?
Here.
First agenda, 2A, review of June 2011 warrant list and formulation and recommendations to board of trustees.
Ms. Quintana, any questions regarding the warrant list?
I glanced through it. It's just amazing. Didn't have much time.
Okay. Ms. Mendoza?
I called in my questions.
Okay. Did you need a answer?
No. I called them regarding travel.
Okay. Ms. Searles?
I have a bunch of them. I could call them in, though, if y'all would like that.
You can ask them out so that way.
Okay, I could ask them. Okay, you could just, and maybe some of them will be so quick and easy, you won't even need to think.
That's what they ask.
I saw, page 16, the $71,536 for computers. I absolutely remember doing that, but I was wondering if you could refresh us on their purpose, and it doesn't have to be number, it could be, you know, just a quick refresher on what we're going to get for our budget.
Just in looking at this, it's purchases for the CATE program, for the Career and Technology program.
Right.
And then that's $9,500. Well, actually, it's $59,000 for the CATE program in computers. And then, for the special ed through ARRA funding, there's mm-hmm. an additional $5,000 now. From what I can see, it's mostly CATE funds.
Okay.
Fund 244 is Carl Perkins grant funds.
Okay, perfect. On page 33, and I don't think you have the results to this yet, but it's for our summer school. We spent $9,942.44. It's the first entry. And I was wondering if we will get an update as to, you know, an accounting of, did the kids learn anything? Was the goal accomplished? Were the teachers happy with the program? It appears to be brainchild.
Right.
Ms. Gonzalez, this committee meeting, which you're going to have now on the 19th?
Yes, sir. Scheduled on the 19th.
Is going to have some of that information regarding summer programs and the curriculum writing. I don't know how detailed to get into summer school, but they're going to talk about a review of the summer.
This had a thing called Kinos, K-I-N-E-O-S in it, and I've seen it several times through things. I don't have a clue what a Kino is. So I was hoping, you know, maybe we could get kind of an update. You know, what does it do? How wonderful is it? On page 49, the bottom entry, and just, I mean, for my information only, it looks like the Department of Defense is sending us produce.
This is through food service. That's who funds the or provides the food, the produce, and the meals that we purchase.
Instead of the USDA, right. It's the department. That's really interesting. Thank you.
Commodities. I was trying to think of the word. It's commodities.
Mm-hmm. On page 66, we spent $1,350 to create a comprehensive GO center where students are going to be advised and wonderful things are going to happen. I was wondering if we could also get an update. You know, is it making a difference?
Through the chair, that is part of the superintendent's board goals, and you will be getting an update actually in tonight's packet.
Great, okay. I noticed several times through the warrant list that some children got to go on field trips, and I thought that was really nice, and I hope we continue to send our kids out. It's so wonderful. I saw they got to go to the zoo, first grade. I very much support that.
All of the end-of-year activities and rewards.
Yeah, it's so nice to see, but the field trip seems so wonderful. On page 85, the very last entry, and all I'd like to know is, can you tell me what a volangulary board is?
I will find out.
I have never seen that. I also noticed through here a lot of the awards we gave were different. We gave t-shirts this year. We gave some gift cards. They seemed like very meaningful. I was real pleased to see a change there. This has been my first end of the year on board this time, and I thought that was really nice. I saw two different, and this doesn't have to be specific. You could go to page 109, Jennifer Gonzalez. Two different special ed contract employees, and I wondered, had we not hired the special ed openings that we had had?
We have done some hiring, however, we still have some vacancies. I know that in the last couple of months, we had some resignations where now she's got vacancies to fill again.
Okay, because I was kind of surprised. I thought we had, you know, gotten those vacancies filled. On page 144, to Massey Automotive, for $149, we got blank keys for M00 and for M10.
Yes. Mrs. Searles?
Yes, sir.
We have to order keys for some of our trucks because we only have one key. Occasionally, if that key ever gets lost, we didn't have a spare. That went through an inventory. We found out that some of those trucks only had one key. That's what that is.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Armstrong. It doesn't have to be specific. I keep seeing service learning grant materials. You could refer to page 164 at the bottom of the page. It's one place. Did I read correctly that we will not receive the service learning grant
for next year?
For the coming year? So that was the end of. Okay, thank you. Towards the end of the warrant list, Tejas Manufacturing, page 297, you could reference. It appears to me that we've bought our students' letter jackets.
What happened this year in the past, the district would actually pay for the entire cost of the letter jackets, mm-hmm. but this year it was at 50-50. The student had to.
So this is only 50.
Right. Well, no, this would be the full amount. However, we do have receipts where monies were deposited or collected from the student, a 50% portion of the jacket.
So we still do not pay for 100% now. We only pay for 50.
And that was due to, budget stakeholders' recommendations. That was one of the recommendations, that we go to a 50-50 model as opposed to 100%.
And did we stay with that?
Yes, sir.
And everybody's comfortable with that?
The coaches were comfortable with it. Initially, the stakeholders committee wanted to go to 0% that we would pay. And I spoke to the coaches, and they were wanting us to at least do 50 due to the economic situation and the athletes. And so everybody was happy with 50, okay. 50, and it would be our recommendation that we would continue that. I did not hear a single complaint during the year.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Murphy.
If I might, what about the economic? It applies to everyone. It's everyone. Coaches were just concerned that some of the students would not be able to get their letter jackets at all if we went to a 0%, especially in 1 year just from 100, because we used to do 100.
Yes, I was always a proponent of 100% personally.
My son Rada was wanting to go 0%. And so.
So are the extremely disadvantaged?
And we do have some.
Yeah, we do.
Again, I didn't hear any complaints.
Okay. But all I can hope is that the coaches are professional enough that they would step up to the bat.
You know, I could go check in on that personally and see.
That would be very
nice.
There were
items that I didn't find out about, but there were still concerns. And
would that be okay, Mr. Rodriguez?
I think one of the things, and I should have done this more closely, was to look at the cuts that we did, and what the Budget Stakeholders Committee and what we could have afforded to put back in. And so I guess we could probably do that next year. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just playing football and even band, you know, there's different students where they can't afford, you know,
that's fresh.
A hamburger when they go out on mm-hmm. some type of thing, you know, much less one of those jackets. And if they gave their time, I want to make sure that all students that participated in those activities get a jacket there.
I agree. So would it be appropriate for Dr. Murphy to bring us back a report?
I would want to look at the amount of students that participated, look at the amount of students that got jackets, because if we see the amount of students that didn't get jackets, those are the people that can afford it. I don't think the students not going to want it because they don't want it. I think, you know, when you look at some of the students, they're excited when that letterman comes in. So I think that's what we need to look at.
Well, maybe we could.
Did you get that?
Yeah, I got it. Okay. I'm looking here. I can tell you, just give me 20 seconds, 10 seconds.
On the amount of cuts. But what I want to see is how many students participated in that group and how many students did receive and did not receive a charge.
How many students would have been eligible?
Yeah.
As a sidelight, I didn't get my letter jacket. My mother wouldn't purchase it. I didn't let her until I was a senior, and she felt, I'm not going to buy you a fancy jacket. You're out of here for 4 months. It's hanging on my wall to this day.
I still have 3 in my my home. Thank you.
I have
you.
It right here. The
I'll ask you another question. Martha Block is looking. Page 305, the bottom of the page. Trace Analysis, Inc.
I want to say this is...
This is for the analysis on the wastewater at CMS. Okay. And that's a monthly thing.
Okay, very good.
Through the chair, Ms. Searles, to answer your question, the savings that was predicted through the Budget Stakeholders Committee in going to this was $6,600. And following up on Mr. Rodriguez, we can see how many kids earned a letter jacket and then how many kids actually paid their money to get their letter jacket, so you can see the difference.
And how many did they receive?
That were eligible. Okay. Can you make a note of that, Martha?
Yes.
That shouldn't be too hard.
On page 317, to Valley Fence, Mr. Armendar said that that's going to be it again. Who got fenced?
Valley Fence. So you've got some. Oh, we did purchasing a fencing that our people are installing currently right now on the lift stations.
At okay. CMS.
Mr. Heimeyer? Ms. Searles?
Yes.
I had talked to you about investing on the lift station and first researching what is actually going on. I've gotten word that there's more development coming on.
Oh, at GES? Yes. We haven't done anything at GES since you had said. Okay. This is all happening at CES.
Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Rose. Sorry.
That was all, Martha. Thank you very much. And thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. I appreciate it.
Mr. Cornell?
I just have some comments in this. Page 80, page 76. Take that back. Page 80. Yeah, page 80. We have the monthly water service fee, and we also have the electrical on page 76. I'd like to see us, Doc, now that we are starting to that we have this information available. Is due a, I guess, make sure we tabulate each separate month between now and the next time that we are going to change our energy efficiency issues at the campuses, for example, at where we're going to put the insulation and convert to the refrigerated air, that we not just for the entire year, but for either quarters or on a monthly basis, so that we can compare that, in fact, what we have, in other words, that we compare apples to apples in terms of the energy efficiency that we're saving. Because it's not going to, and right now that we have access to, you know, on a monthly basis, what's going on. If there's any increases or changes in equipment that gets installed at any of these campuses, so that we'll know what it's based on. If we add things, for example, as we're upgrading technology or things like that, and you say, we come next year and we change out the refrigerated air and we notice that there's not that much of a savings when in fact we've increased the load there because of other issues. So I'd like to have so we can have some baselines now before we do any other additions to any of the campuses from the bond, so that we can say, look, yes, we can attribute these savings to XYZ, to the insulation or to the refrigerated air that we're saving, because that's going to be savings not just on electrical but on water, especially for the refrigerated air when we take out the swamp coolers. So I'd like to have it so that we can, after the installation, the following year, we'll do a analysis of how much throughout the entire year both the water and the electrical have either gone down, hopefully, so that we can compare to this, you know, and subtract out if we add any particular equipment that will increase the energy consumption, so that we don't end up with a false comparison. Not false comparison, but rather skewed.
Yes.
Because of other equipment that we've added or other loads that we've added to the campuses, and it's not truly reflecting the energy consumption difference. Do you see what I'm trying to get at?
In fact, if I may, we're currently working on something similar to what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know that Dr. Murphy and myself have a meeting scheduled in August with SCORE, people from SCORE, who are going to offer us a free service to do something similar to this.
Great.
We do have a report from CECO, who is also part of SCORE, who has already done an analysis in our facilities and have looked at all the utility expenditures and then pointed out what the benefits and are going with an energy management system, for example.
Right.
What the pluses and the minuses are in the switch over from refrigeration to evap cooling. It's very, very honest review for
right.
our district. And we have that. I will make that available to Dr. Murphy, and we will make sure you know if you can make copies for the board. But we have that other meeting that we still have to deal with. And then, of course, we are looking, right now we are looking at the purchase of the school heat energy software.
Right.
That is an add-on that will allow us to inject those numbers, and then those increases, like say for example, AMS, if they get a gymnasium, well that's another building.
Right.
So it will skew the numbers from last year to this number, but it'll come out as a line item as to what new facilities or new pieces of equipment, like you said,
right.
have been introduced in that campus that may have affected the water usage or the electric.
Right, and that's why right now that we haven't added any of that stuff, would be good to keep track from here to when yes. we install them, what the usage immediately before it was.
Yeah, right now we're doing it manually because
right.
we don't have the software, but as soon as it comes in, we're going to be putting it in.
And the other thing that I was going to say is that we need to keep track of it not on a cost basis, but rather on the usage of the kilowatts.
Right.
Because otherwise that will also throw it off.
And I do know that the electric company, especially in the electricity, the electric company can provide us with that information straight out.
Okay.
Thanks.
That's all I have.
Ms. Casares?
No, not me.
Ms. Gonzalez?
I do have a couple. And one of them has already been answered by Ms. McGibbon. When is the service learning grant going to end?
I believe the end date is supposed June 30th.
June 30th, the last thing? Okay. My other one, I didn't finish actually the whole board warrant list. There was too much info to digest. But one of the questions is on page 32. It has to do with Brainchild Corporation, and the amount is $99,42.44.
This is a same question that Ms. Searles had on the Tineo tablets. As far as
I was referring to the amount, because it's almost close to $10,000, and then it didn't went before the board, and I'm just thinking if they just did it less than 10,000, so it wouldn't go before board approval, or?
I have to look into it. I couldn't answer that.
I know you can, but just
okay.
letting you know. Okay, the other one is on page 60.
60?
Yes, ma'am. Dell Marketing. And there is a fund, was used 6639 pound code. Why was that one used for 6639 instead of a 6399 or 6398?
This might be in addition to an existing capital asset that's already in place, and so we would quote that. If we put, for example, if we put a server, which you usually come in over 5,000, and if this is an addition, I would have to verify, but my thinking is that because it's an addition item that we would attach to that existing server, it's part of the actual capital asset, and 6,600 is for anything that we capitalize. But I will verify just to make sure.
Okay. The other one, I'm not sure if Ms. Searles had asked this question. On page 67, DS Mechanical Contractors, and it has to do with think it says here for the lift, CMS lift station.
Yes, we had a, Mrs. Gonzalez, we had a, at CMS, we had one of our pumps go out. In fact, two, both of them. Each lift station has two pumps, and one's a backup for it. The other problem is that we don't have the ability to pull them up. The pump stations, the way they were designed, they're so old that they were designed so that you'd get a truck with a lift that would be able to pull them up. They're very heavy motors that are down there, and we couldn't lift them up, so we had to get a contractor to come in and modify that old, create a little basket that would lift them up. They do make them nowadays. And also to bring up all the electrical that, if you want to, if you believe this, I mean, it was in a wet area. The electrical was inside the lift station, so it was getting wet, so all the lines were getting corroded, and that's why they would break down. So that's part of the code requirements that we needed to upgrade on the lift station. That's part of the lift grid upgrades that we have to do at the lift stations from the bond. And so we're bringing up all the electrical connections, the switches and everything up the ground, and that's why we're fencing, and we're also fencing those lift stations to protect them, to keep them away from children. That's what that is about.
And this had nothing to do with the 21 projects, correct, or the lift station?
Part of it does. The thing is that we had to get on it on this past one because the pump actually gave up. We couldn't wait. We had to react to this in order to get the pump going.
But so, through the chair, the CMS pumps lift station was not part of the 21 projects.
No, it isn't.
No, was it through a maintenance?
It's part of. It's through a maintenance. Yes.
Maintenance. Your own. The money. Your budget.
That's right. That's correct.
Page 124 and 125. Same thing, innovative learning concepts, $9,400, almost close to $10,000, same thing. And I didn't finish going through the whole packet. That's it for now.
Are we in agreement to recommend it to a full board?
Yes.
We're in agreement to recommend it to a full board. Ms. Cortez, if you could take us to an exit tonight.
To the chair, can I ask a question first? Martha, I was wondering if you could comment to the committee and the board members your concern about the upcoming first team's warrant list and financial report at the end of July. I wrote a note about this in your packet this afternoon. As you know, we did successfully move over to Teams on July 1st, and Teams representatives have been here over the last couple of days. You were telling me about that. Why don't you tell the board about that?
Well, to be truthful right now, I don't have the capabilities of running a report that mirrors what you are currently accustomed to. I have been in communication since before the actual conversion with the team's reps and informing them that this is what we need. We've emailed them copies of what we already currently provide you all so that they can work with us to help me generate a report of some type. As of right now, I don't have anything, and I will keep on them because I realize that before I know it, it's July 31st. I'm just concerned that I don't know at this point how, now that we're fully on Teams, what I can and cannot expect.
Regarding more of this.
Regarding the reporting available.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
What do the other districts get?
Well, not everybody gets board financials. For example, Socorro ISD, the board does not get board. Uh-huh. Every board has a different
get something. Okay.
And so they have different formats. I will be in contact. I know that districts that I spoke to We've spoken to Marvin from ISD, and it's a matter of cutting and pasting a lot of different things. And so I'm working on it. It's just something that, you know, I don't know how, I can't explain. I can't describe what you're going to actually see at the July, at the end of this month, but I'm working on something.
I told Ms. Mendoza the other day, the only surprises we like are flowers
and jewelry.
Chocolates could also be in there.
Martha, can you, occasionally, and actually in the last couple of days we've been talking about this, occasionally you cut it short and run what's there. Could you do that, like on July 15th, cut something and run it and see what it looks like? Or are you talking about more basic things that it does, that they're having to create a custom report?
Just the basic report is what I mean, like I said.
So it isn't, there isn't anything even there right now to run a test on.
Right.
So
if I might, the warrant list running report we get, right?
I'm sorry.
What's the issue?
The teams of the reports available through teams, there isn't one that is comparable to what we have right now. So we've sent them a copy of what we have in hopes that they can compile one for us.
Have they given you samples of what they're going to be able to produce? They haven't given you samples?
Of the reports that are currently available, I have not found one that I can say, okay, this is going to work for me. And that is why I've been pressing on them. We did have representatives here. They left at 4:30, and I, you know, before they left, that was another, you know, I reminded them, this is an urgent request that I need you to address, because I cannot wait till June 20th to July 20th to figure whether or not we're going to be able to have something for the board. It's just going to require workaround.
So is that on the financials, a warrant list, or completely?
Everything.
And there's no, I guess when we purchased this, did we actually, have we talked to Tony? What was he looking at, or what type of reports? I'm sure.
My understanding is that there wasn't much of a finance input when the decisions were made as to the purchase of teams. And so...
So what does the software do then?
Well, it's an accounting system that is supposed to do everything that we expected. It's just what was... In theory, it's a great product. However, as we've gone through these conversions, we've come into areas where there's...
I guess what... And can you pull something right now to actually see, or you won't be able to see till the end of the month?
No, I'm working on them. You know, right now I can't go in there and pull something. But I am working... I have informed them of the need that we...
So you're saying there is no warrant list capability in Teams?
Not to my knowledge, not yet.
Martha, I know that Teams gives you sample reports of whatever they have available. Mm-hmm. Can you give us copies of whatever they have given you and what they have available?
I can get that for you.
The other question, I guess, do they give the journal? Are we able to print out the journal? I mean, we wouldn't want to see the journal entries. What I'm trying to see is, under the accounting, what type of reports will they put out? I mean, it's not like a warrant list, but this is pretty much not necessarily a warrant list. This is just, I mean, not, this is not necessarily a journal, but it's more of our expenditures, correct?
Right. The warrant list is the month's expenditures, yes. Right now what we can see is, it might include POs and vendors and dates, but perhaps it won't have the amounts, or it might not have the account number. In other words, we have to create a report that includes every single element we have. But I will work with teams so that maybe currently what we have, I'll request reports and put them in a packet for next week so that you all can see what we have, and then... Again, I'm trying to mirror as much, as closely as possible to what you all are accustomed to seeing. And,
And I think, I mean, I don't mind, not necessarily a surprise, as long as the surprise is good. If the report that is being put out is, you know, more adequate than what this system did, I don't mind that. I mean, we could call it whatever we need to.
Right. I need to make sure that all the elements that we at least can offer you the elements that you are, mm-hmm. you know, accustomed to. If there's better bells and whistles,
well, I mean, I'm saying, like, if it brings in the POs and all the other stuff, I mean, I don't.
Well, this one includes POs.
I'm saying on the new system, okay. whatever report, if we come to a problem, whatever report you're able to give it, send it to us for that month, and then we could ask whatever questions we have on that,
okay.
And then we could try addressing the issue if it needs to be addressed.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah. Stay on schedule, Martha.
I just encourage the board to, we're going to do the very best we can, but... you know, I will hand it to teams. They solved the calendar issue for us. They finally did. They solved it, and in fact, it's a done deal. And the four-day restoration is done, and the days are back, and we were able to accomplish that. So bravo, teams, for that. Finally, hopefully they can solve this one for us as well. But as of today, we don't have a solution.
Okay. Ms. Preston?
Sorry, I'm having a delayed... affect it. You're saying that there's no way it can do like a checks and balances type report?
They have reporting, except what I'm saying is that one consolidated report with all the elements that you currently are used to seeing on a warrant list. In other words, my first question was, can you provide, what report are we going to run for a warrant list for the board? And then they said, well, what is that? What do you need in that? And so then I've said, you know, we need the date, the purchase order, the account stream, the description, the amount. And so, as of right now, there's nothing that they can say, this is going to work. They haven't even shown me a sample. But I will work on running, now that we're live, I will run and see what's there.
How much of this conversion has already taken place? I mean, are you able to see the fields that were populated under the SIM system? Are the same fields being populated with the same information in the teams? Or are we having cross information?
We are. Sims is a thing of the past now.
Okay.
We are finalizing paying off any existing POs from June 30th and before under the SIM system. But all POs as of July 1st have been created. We've, I think, created like 70 POs from July 1st to today.
So everything all past information like was not uploaded into Teams right now? You're still working in both?
The only thing that's uploaded from prior year from SIMS is federal grants. The grant, because they carry over in fiscal years. But all purchase orders purchase orders created in SIMS will remain in SIMS. They were not transferred over. This information that you have here is through SIMS. That's why we were able to develop the information quickly.
Okay, so what happens if we need to do some research 3 months down the road?
SIMS is available, but it's a prior year. It's a fiscal year 11. We will still have access to our data from the last 5 years through SIMS.
Okay.
But now all business processes are being handled through any journal entries, any receipts, anything we process, and in the past was done through SIMS, is now officially on Teams. We entered our first journal entry. It's a lot of firsts since July 1st.
It doesn't seem that hard for them to create a report that you asked it to populate this field with this information, this field. It doesn't seem like rocket science. I mean, it's not that hard.
Typically what happens with these types of ERP packaging is that the vendor will, because they're basically putting out a generic best solution,
mm-hmm.
They'll take their best stab at developing reports that are usually useful across the board. Some may work, you know, the majority, especially if there's been a lot of custom reports that have been generated prior to for a specific organization.
Mm-hmm.
Those may not translate exactly when you're converting from one system to the other. There's also a matter of data transition. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the data that you capture, for example, in SIMS, may not be represented exactly the same way in Teams, and so there may be some additional data conversions or decoding, if you will, or additional coding, that kind of thing. And so it's a matter of mapping. These are the data fields that we hadn't sent. They now are contained within these fields in Teams. The other thing that tends to happen behind the scenes is that, for example, on your older legacy systems, they actually tend to store the information in fewer tables, fewer files. On something like Teams, that because of the coding methodology, they tend to basically blow out the number. And so you've got, let's say, for example, that what you used to store in a matter of 10 files is now stored in a matter of 100 files, and you have to piece that information together. And so just from a developing the report and customizing what's already there, that's really kind of the effort that's involved. And so to kind of address it, and again, just generally trying to address the general concern here, the long-term direction, I think, would be for ultimately for this district to maybe implement something called a data warehouse, where you would be able to get information from SIMS and Teams, merge them together so that you could then facilitate, you know, training or any kind of multi-year analysis. But at this point, my understanding is we do have, you know, previous year's information contained on SIMS and current year going forward on Teams, and it is going to be a matter of working with the vendor to figure out what it is, because I think ideally, maybe, and Ms. Grigham may be able to confirm this, but my understanding is there is functionality to query the data and pull it out, but that would be in a raw form. And in that raw state, it may not make a lot of sense, quite frankly, and so we would need to kind of work on cosmetics to make it presentable and understandable to something other than the computer itself. So, okay. And that's really kind of my understanding of the nature of what you're doing.
Okay. I will add that when we did have the training campuses and departments as far as creating the purchase requisitions and approving, they seemed to have liked how the process was, and as far as viewing their reports on the system, it seemed easier. It appeared that they were, you know, they were okay. They could follow the way they can see it on the system. It's because we were not on a system where we didn't have access to the Teams system as far as a testing site until like the last 2 weeks, as far as let's try and run a report and see what it spits out. Mm-hmm. We didn't have that ability until very recently, and so we haven't had that chance to. Everything's been, you know, requesting a verbal description of what we want, and then them saying, well, we'll need to work on creating a report for you.
Once they have that in place, because I'm sure it's going to be a lot of back and forth and tweaking and all that, once they have that in place, are we going to have the capabilities to run our own reports in-house where we don't have to be asking them? Okay. I can see. Okay. Thank you.
Was that it?
Yeah.
So we'll be able to get a sample this Friday?
I will contact them on Monday and
see what I can get
as far as, I'll email them tomorrow.
Will you send us what type of sample so we could be aware of if any board members to ask questions?
Sure.
You could ask.
In fact, following up on that, I mean, showing the board what's currently available shows the bind that you're in. So, you know, let's see what is currently there, and you can kind of point out, see how this doesn't have this and that doesn't have this. That'll be helpful in and of itself.
Mr. Chairman, that's my question. If you could send us what they have, given you as a sample reports, what they have available, and then you ask them, like, well, this is not what we want, and then they'll work with you, or if they work with you. But that's what I was asking, if you could give us copies of what they have given you.
What's the original
format.
And I can have Claudia. We haven't, we've been so busy in the conversion process, and we have one support person. And I can have her put on all the canned reports on my menu also, so I can have that next week. So I can help you with that if you'd like. And then also I can just assign her the task. Now that we're all over and we had so much groundwork to get it to conversion, that I can even have her work on customizing reports. And we can see, because we just got some, you know, we can go into the Crystal report, we can go in and create
Crystal Excel.
Yeah. So do you know what I mean? So we might be able to, we have haven't, you know, it's taken us years with the student side to figure out exactly, you know, somebody said, well, can you do this? Yeah, let's try it. And so we were able to create a lot of reports. And then once we have them, we send them to everyone. You know, like we could send them to Martha. So I can have Claudia help you with that and work on that.
Okay, and then just a clarification. Is this on both the financials and the warnings?
Yes.
Okay. I guess that's better for this agenda. Yeah? Can you take this to the next one?
Agenda item 2B, review of June 2011 district financial evaluation recommendation to board.
For June, the month of June. Under page one, we have a combined funds of fund 196.
Excuse me, Martha, put the. There we go.
Under page one, we have a report with fund 196, which is a high school allotment, and fund 199, which is the local revenue, local funds. And so the revenues for June financials in fund 199 and 196. Was collected of 81% was collected, which equaled $34 million. And at this same time last year, the district had collected 78.25%, which equaled to $31.9 million in revenue. So the report is reflecting a 2.1 increase in revenues from this year to last year. Under the expenditures, we ended the month with 79.41% of expenditures, which is $29.7 million. And at this time last year, the district had expended 80.5%, which was 33.6. So we had a decrease in expenditures at $3.9 million from this year to last year. Under page two, which is for the state comp ed funds, fund 185, we had expended 78% of our SCE allotment, which was $2.7 million. And in 2009-10, SCE funds were all in the same fund with fund 196 and 199, so we don't have a comparison. However, we have expended 78% of our budgeted amount for this current year. Under page three, which is a food service fund, fund 101, the revenues for June came in at 95.8% collected, which is a total of $3.7 million. And at this time last year, the district had collected 88.6%, which is $4 million in revenues based on the $4 million. And so revenues collected have showed a decrease of $300,000 from revenues last year. And the expenditures were at 88.08% for this year, which is $2.8 million. And at this time last year, the district had expended 82.3%, which is 3.4. That we showed a decrease in expenditures of about $600,000 from last year, compared to last year. Under the debt service fund, which is page four, which is fund 599, the revenue for fund 599 at the end of June was 95.12 collected, which is approximately $4.7 million. And at this time last year, the district had collected 93.6, which equaled approximately $5.2 million in revenues. So we reflected a $500,000 decrease in revenues from last year. Although based on our projected revenues, we are at 95% collected. Under the expenditures for debt service, we expended 28.14%, which is $1.5 million. And at this time last year, we had expended 1.7. So it was a $200,000 decrease of expenditures under debt service. And again, this was attributed to we had the bond refunding last year. And so of course our payments decreased by a little bit. Under page five, which is our statement of cash investment balances, we reflected $31.7 million in the bank accounts in cash, And last year we had 3.3 million. I'm sorry. 28.4 million last year. So we had an increase in cash of 3.3 million for this year. Under page 6, which is the analysis of tax collections, we reflected or projected that we had reflected $17.4 million in tax collections, and that's an increase of $300,000 from last year when we had collected $17.1 at the same time last year. Under page 6, which is the comparative tax collection report, page 7, we had estimated $16.6 million in revenue to be received for the current year, and we have received 105% of our estimated revenue. We actually received $17.4 million in taxes. And in comparison to last year, we had estimated that we would be receiving $17 million. And we actually received 17.1, or 100% of our tax collections. So as far as our tax collections, we are doing very well in collections. Under page 8, which is workers' comp fund, we paid out $350,000 in premiums compared to $370,000 that we had paid out last year. And in claims, we paid out $254,000 through the month of June. And last year, we had paid out $163,000. So this left an excess of revenue over expenditures under workers' comp of $54,000. Under page 9, which is the health care fund, the report reflects $4 million received in premiums compared to $4.3 million received in premiums last June, and of course this is attributed to the fact that we don't have as many employees as we did last school year. And then as far as claims, we paid out 2.9 this June compared to 3.5 million paid out in claims last June. So we do have, we didn't pay out as much this last month. This left an excess of revenues over expenditures of $355,000 for the health care. Under the construction, as far as encumbrances, we have a total of $14,000 in encumbered in this current for the month of June, compared to $104,000 that we had last year at the same time. We have a remaining budget of $11.3 million. Compared to 11.7 that we had last June. And under the enrollment, I'm reporting that we had last June we didn't report on an enrollment. It wasn't included in the package. However, we ended the current enrollment, the week ending June 2nd, with 5,894 students enrolled in district-wide. And I don't have that comparison to last year.
Mr. Chair.
Ms. Lutheran, any questions?
No.
Ms. Lindblom, any questions?
No.
Ms. Charles, any questions?
I do have a question. Mm-hmm. On our food service, you said we dropped $600,000. Do we quit feeding everybody, or everybody's going to go on a diet?
Food service, as far as expenditures, or?
I think it was expenditures, that last year we were $600,000 more than this year.
Yeah. Last year we expended $3.4 million, and this year we expended $2.8 million. The budget was $400,000 less this year than we just in this June, this fiscal year compared to the fiscal year 10. So there was a decrease in revenue, and
along with that, a decrease in expenditures because there wasn't as much funding there.
Any reason why, though, Martha?
As far as because we're federally funded, just the funding was not as high as we've been in the past in regards to how much the federal government allocates.
But no particular reason why?
I can go ahead and do some research for you, but I don't have a specific answer as to. Just, I guess if we take all the other federal entitlements we've received from fiscal year 9, 10 to this last current year, we finished fiscal year 11, we did see a decline in funding
yes.
through the federal government.
But our food service over the years has always been so robust.
Right.
It seems interesting.
We're still a Provision 2 district where everybody is entitled
Good.
To the free and reduced
okay.
free lunch. It's just that funding is decreasing by the federal government.
So you think it's just standard?
Just based on all the other entitlements we received, like Title 1,
yes.
Title 2.
It
have
falls right in line with the other mm-hmm. cuts. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Cornell.
Yeah, and along those lines, we haven't done or requested a presentation from food service in about 7 years. I think it's probably time that we request them to provide us with a presentation on the food service. One of the other things that I think this board we need to look at is exactly with the new guidelines coming into effect in terms of compliance, and not only that, but new nutritional requirements. I know they're probably up to date, but I'd like to see how we could improve that area. I know that some of the, and I'm going to be very interested to see, especially, and part of what I was, wanting that we'd focus, and I know probably from the student questionnaire that Doc sent out that and when we get ready for the goal setting, I know that we're going to see some of the two main things that come up from the students are the dress code, food service, and then after that, various and sundries of things. And so I'll be very interested to see some of those comments with respect to, and I don't know if the survey included any of that, if it was general in nature, but.
Chair, I was going to have that report for you.
Yeah.
The problem is Sylvia Gonzalez, who quarterbacked the whole thing, mm-hmm. is off this week. And so I actually pulled it from the agenda on Tuesday, and I'll get it to you in a Friday packet after that. But she's off this entire week, and I couldn't get with her and to disaggregate and all that.
Well, that's all right. We can still take a look at it.
But we'll definitely get it prior to our workshop on the 26th.
It'll be fine to have it for the workshop, but I think one of the things that our board needs to take a look at is in terms of presentation of where we're at with food service, along with the questionnaire from if and if it doesn't include it, maybe we can have some questionnaire to the to the campuses about our food service. If the questionnaire that was passed out by administration, if it does not include it, then I'd like to see that this board request before we do our goal setting and before the presentation of our food service department to the board about the general status of our food service, what we may be wanting to take a look at in terms of how we're going to improve it. And that's one of the things we haven't looked at in about 7 or 8 years. I know I requested that about 7 years ago. And we did one, food service did one for us, and I think it's time that we get another one done.
I guess the only problem right now is no kids in school for the survey of.
Yeah, no, I'm saying prior to us doing and formalizing how we're going to do that, I'd like to get a questionnaire from the kids when they come back mm-hmm. from school before we formalize how we're going to go about improving it. We can certainly take a look at the our goal and goal setting, but before we take account of how we're going to go about improving the food service, I'd like for us to wait on formalizing that until we get some more input, if there isn't any input in that questionnaire we already have.
Okay.
check and let y'all know.
Okay.
And the presentation, you'd like it to be done?
No, I'm talking within the next, few months.
Okay. Items to consider, like any updates and guidelines, compliance. You mentioned nutritional requirements.
Mm-hmm.
That survey, we can get that out. And any other items that you'd like for her to consider?
You know, a choice for the students in terms of what they have available, whether there's, I know that is clearly an issue with the kids. Adele has done this type of report before. She'll know what we mean, a comprehensive presentation to the board about the entire food service program.
I will let her know.
So.
No more pyramid.
Huh?
No more food pyramid.
No. No, and I think we need to, and even though we're in compliance and stuff, I think that, our kids are going to tell us areas where I know they want improvement, And if we can give it to them and within our means, then we ought to take a look at it. So it doesn't hurt to be, better providers of nutritional value than just to meet the minimum standards. So, and I think the kids will definitely agree with it, won't they?
We could put something out on Facebook. I'd be afraid to see the responses, but I don't.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, this is the information era. So I think there'll definitely be interesting responses, I'm sure. But anything, I think that's what we ought to. One of the other areas that we need to start looking at, because I don't think this board looked at that in quite some time. So. Anyways, that's all I have.
Ms. Casares, Ms. Gonzalez?
No.
Just a couple questions on one of the things that I would like to look at. I don't know if that's a flex account or the flex repo on number 5. Looking at, and I want an update from RFAs. I know that the Feds have been looking at possibly dropping a small percentage of it, but if they're going to continue, would we save a couple thousand now that the interest rates are so on a flex repo? The other thing, just real quick, is the one that serves as an exclusive advisor to Lone Star, that's Piper Jeffrey on that one, on page 5?
Say that again?
The person who serves as an exclusive financial advisor to Lone Star.
The one that
serves as an exclusive financial advisor.
Lone Star and Piper Jaffray are both part of the TASB.
That's an exclusive financial advisor to Lone Star?
I don't follow which.
Piper Jaffray serves as an exclusive financial advisor. That's what I was researching. Is that true?
Well, what I know is that Lone Star and Piper Jaffray are both housed under the TASB organization. Is that?
Yeah.
In other words, they provide services. Piper Jaffray provides services under investment, under bond underwriting, and Lone Star provides services under investment.
I understood different when I was researching through Google, but the other question that I had was under the bond programs that we're about to close out, when are we looking at closing the 2006-1699?
That would be as soon as the projects are completed.
You recall we did take some funds for repairs at AMS and to buy a boiler. So as soon as those are put back in, then we're going to finish out with surveillance cameras, which is just, I think that is the only one that's
outstanding. So we took out funds out of this to buy the boiler?
I believe it, I'm not mistaken.
Yes, 1691 is 2006 bond series.
And we used to purchase a boiler, so the only thing that's left is,
if I can recall, Mr. Rodriguez, it's the surveillance cameras is the only thing that's left on the bond.
The $1 million that we borrowed for the
21 project.
The 21 project, so 1.389, was that taken out of the 106 elementary? Or where was that taken out of?
Well, yes, it'll be taken out of the 106 elementary. In addition, we need to, $3 million of it has been designated to pay for, debt service relief.
But that's been taken out of Fund 106, correct?
Right, and yes.
Okay, so.
And the remaining amounts on all the different projects, if you refer to page 10, I'm looking at, we've got like fire alarms, PA systems, lighting retrofits. There's funds in the different, allocated for the different projects. As soon as that we get the authorization that we, there's not going to be any more expenditures under that, they can all roll forward into any new designated projects. But basically, the $11 million will be consumed by payment for the land purchase, the $3 million for the debt service payment, and then additional bond projects that were discussed and shared when we were proposing the bond election for this the new $43 million bond.
Yes. What I see here on the current year to date on those projects, that was $10,000 taken out from the 106 elementary, correct? For the land.
The land will come out of the.
Okay, and then there was another $14,000 taken out of renovations to CMS.
Right.
And that zeros out that fund. What was that $14,000 that was done at CMS?
I would have to.
I can't recall at hand, Mr. Rodriguez.
Okay, and then I guess we could go to the next one then, which is the security cameras equipment is what you were talking about?
That is what I'm talking about, yes.
So we. Where does it show that we encumbered the pump?
This is as of June 30th.
And when did we encumber that?
The pump. That hasn't been. Are you talking about the heat pump? The high school?
You were talking about, the water.
When was that done? That was done this year, early this year during the freeze.
And what was the total?
I want to say. In the 40s.
43,284?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
No, 42,274.
It was around 44,000 that I had given a number, but the number came in, 42, and the number came in less than that because we finished it and we completed it, and I don't think we used the whole amount.
Of the 57 that we put in there, 42
was used.
And that was an added line item to this, and not.
In other words, we pulled from other.
Another account.
Right.
But was that an added line item, or was that just a transfer of?
Within Fund 691, we transferred funds from existing line items.
But you added a line item to 691.
Right.
And that's where we see renovations, weather's related?
Yes.
So that line item was never in place, right?
No, it was created when we had the need to replace the boiler.
And where was that 100? And what fund was that encumbered out of our budget for Fund 691?
It was from within the existing line items. I would have to pull out the budget transfer to see what fund, what line items we took that out of, but it was all within, and it's within the Fund 691. In other words, from within the $11 million that we had there, we redirected, say, for example, and I don't know the exact ones, but for example, if we took $20,000 from fire alarms and another $20,000 from PA systems, and then we transferred it into the line item for the replacement of the boiler.
Right. Cool. excuse me, what my concern here is the budget that we currently have under the Fund 691 is the original program. Now, if we added another line item to that fund, I think it has to be shown that it wasn't part of the FY 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, because it can be misleading. You get what I'm saying?
Right, but it still has to fall under that Fund 691.
I understand that it's a transfer fund, and that when you add that line item, you can say...
I will add that all the... If you will see how we've got several line items, and a lot of them have... The top portion are line items that were created back when possibly the
original.
For the original.
And that's what...
We kind of transpired, and we've changed the line items as the years and the projects have been completed. So how would you...
How many of those line items have we changed then since the original bond program too?
If you notice where it says upgrades, right below, right the item under
upgrade
construction.
ADA. So the football field turf, or turf is one, and then the renovations, weather related is another, correct?
Right.
So those are two line items that we added.
Okay.
My thing is the original bond program for when we created the fund 691 after it passed,
mm-hmm.
we added that in FY 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to show on so that way it's not miscommunicated, and we have to see where that money came from. So that way when that money comes back, and we finish out the bond projects that we told the community mm-hmm. at the original point of when we created the fund 691, then we say we closed out all these original projects
and
added those.
Okay, and in that report that we provided, if that's on the website where it says bond projects completed, that's where the original projects were allocated. And
but do you get where I'm coming from?
Right, and that's why we created, like, with the remaining funds when we redirected them last year, and actually that was done in January of 2010, we created the new line items that called upgrades, fire alarms, PA upgrades, PA systems, and so on and so forth. What we'll do is when we do the reporting or update the...
We created that, or was that in the original bond program?
No, it was based on the needs that Mr. Armendariz brought forth to the board last year in January when he came on board, and then through the directions or approval of the board, and we reallocated the existing funds that were scattered throughout the different line items on the upper part of that page
okay.
10 that you're seeing.
What I would like to see then is when we actually, what was the original fund? What was the designation of the original fund? What did we add on the line items, and when did we add those?
Okay, this is a separate report, or?
No, you could even just not highlight the blue till when we put it on there, like if it went on halfway.
Do you want me to maybe say original projects and shade them one color, and then all the new ones that were created from January this way in another?
And was that created by savings?
Yes. It was remaining funds that were, just like I said, they were scattered throughout, like roof replacements, renovations at CMA, you know, there was...
Okay, whatever the savings was, then, you know, we need to see, okay, this is the amount of savings, and that's where we created these other line items, so that way we could address those issues.
Okay. I'll create something and then...
You don't have to create it on the report, or if you wanted to, so that we could get a better understanding on the next one.
Mm-hmm.
My main thing is I want to look at, okay, when we're going to close out the FY 2006, we have to make sure that we calculate the amount of money that we took for the AMS. The second is the AMS. The second is... The land purchase, well, actually, we have the land purchase on there, but we went over, but it's not the grading, so we have to take that out of the elementary. And then the other thing is what we took out from the bond 2011 to fund the 21 projects.
Okay.
Or seven, whatever it is. So that way,
1.3.
When we get the other money, were able to show, okay, the bond program from 2011 has refunded the 1.3 for the 21 projects, and then we were able to analyze that.
The new money that comes in will be under a different fund, and we cannot transfer from that fund into this one. Basically, when the bond projects were proposed, funds were considered as part of what would complete the entire bond projects that were proposed. So I will differentiate, 2006 funds from the new funds, but an actual transaction where money is subtracted from here and added to this one, that's not, I will reflect it so that, it's clear to everyone what was of, call them bond decision 2011 projects under the bond 2006 funding, so that we can differentiate. But as far as the report, we can't, as far as the accounting system, we can't merge both sets of funds into one.
And we'll be getting on the next one, once we sell the bonds, we'll be getting the fund, whatever else, on the 2011 projects next.
When the funds are released, if they're released in August, for August 31st financial, you'll be able to see the line items with amounts in the different projects.
Okay, that's all I have. Does anybody else? Go ahead.
I do have one question. On the same page, on page 10, mm-hmm. we've got land purchase number 106 elementary school. We have $1 million there. We're down to 990. We've spent 10,000 on, I'm going to guess, our earnest money. Mm-hmm. Then as you go down, you see construction 106 elementary. We've got 6350, and I don't know what that's for.
Could be the appraisal, I don't know.
We did have the appraisals, and those came in at around, I don't want to say that.
Well, I know one of the appraisals was in our warrant list, and it's about $3,200. I think it was $700 for her to come.
I think it came in, too. It was the initial,
okay. I think that you're probably right, though. Thank you, that's all.
That's it. Are we in agreement to recommend it to the board?
Yes.
We're in agreement to recommend it to the board.
Follow the agenda 2C, preliminary update on 2011 bond projects and timeline.
Internally, we may end up, it may be a combination
where it, like say for example, the bank drop-off, what it means is that we're going to be purchasing signs and posts, and it's something that our people can do, and they'll go ahead and take care of that. But you know, we're actually buying from vendor, and then we're doing the installation ourselves. When you see the contractor, more than likely, my recommendation would be that we would involve a contractor through a process of proposal bids or general bid. And the reason may be that when we look at our workload and in talking to our people, then we make a call on that. Also based on, do we have the equipment to do that type of work? Okay. We may not have all the equipment, and we may be having to go out and purchase pieces of equipment like that. And then AE, even though you don't see anything right now on the AE, some of these projects, as when we go on to part two, may require architectural design or engineers' involvement on that. And then I've got the next column, which would be the start date, when we anticipate starting on these projects, the completion date, and then the final cost. Because we're realizing, say for example, if I can go over to the new heating and transportation bay at support services, we completed that project and we were able to save a full $8,000. Why? Because at the time, we didn't know whether we were going to pass this bond or not. And as we were closing our budget year, when we checked it out, we found out that we have money to do just the internal. We kept the heater, and we went ahead and purchased just the motor components of it. And we replaced them, and we're operational now. They're fully operational. So, in a sense, we did spend some money last year because we didn't know whether the bond was going to pass or not, and took care of the heating simply because if it didn't pass, they still need heat, so we still need to do that. And it turns out that we had an $8,000 savings. So the final cost would be zero in there. And so on, that's how I anticipate marketing so that we can keep track of where our money, our funds are going, and whether we have savings or not. And occasionally it may turn out, I don't know, and that's not something that I would anticipate. It may be a little bit over, depending on how the bids go out. But we're hoping that's not going to happen. That's for the summer projects, and then if you flip over, you'll see the beginning of what we started on just the breakdown for the remaining projects. These are items that I still need to sit down with Dr. Murphy and other personnel to figure out how we would approach this. I still couple them up according to the specific projects or disciplines. And if you look at number one, we have air conditioning upgrades, and that involves all those campuses that are outlined there. And the total budget for that is $5,110,000. Now, the reason that we're not prepared to really sit down and say, well, this is a priority, or well, actually the priority falls upon the board. The board should, I'm expecting that the board tell me how you want this prioritized. But how we go out and at what time is, we haven't gotten to that. Because there's many factors that play into this. And just as an example, okay, this is the way I see things, okay? We know we have, if you go to the very, to the fourth page, we know we have, on number 64, we have a pre-K through 8. If we were to start that project, my recommendation would then be, I'd like to get the major improvement projects out here bid out by possibly that contractor, that option, because he's going to have a lot of paving there. So maybe I want to roll in the other paving on the rest of the projects in this project so that we can, you know, gain some savings on that. Okay, there might be other things. He's going to buy a lot of windows. And I know in here we have item number 5. Why not couple it up with that project and end up with some savings? So there's a lot of this back and forth that we're going to have to do, Dr. Murphy and I, and finally be able to come back to the board and say, okay, this is what we recommend, and then allow you enough time to look at it and make a determination. No, I don't want to go this route. I think we should go this way, and then you tell us what you want us to do, and I would expect that you prioritize that project for me, so that then I can start approaching it. I will provide some guidance with respect to if you were to say, well, we want to prioritize the air conditioners, then I would say, okay, before we do the air conditioners, let's do the insulation first. You know, putting the cart before the horse is probably not the smart thing to do, so then I would justify it that way. And I would say, well, if you put in the air conditioners, we're going to be losing a lot of energy because the building's not insulated. So insulation rolls in first. Or it may be that we couple those projects and then put them out to bid. There's many ways in which we can skin this cat. And we just need to sit down and have time with Dr. Murphy and the rest of the personnel that would be involved in this to see how I would approach this. I have my ideas based on how I see that we can realize savings. And some of them may fall into place where we could realize, but then they'd be so far out of the way. Like say, for example, the canopies for the CES and for DDE and for Neches. Those I wouldn't even bring into the picture for the construction. That's a totally isolated type of project, and I would make a recommendation that we approach it differently. We probably bid it out together, but it would stand by itself. While I was sitting back there and also the rest of the week, I was kind of doing my own, what would I couple with? And I'll just show you as an example, what I would consider as a major project improvement or major improvement would be item number two, which by itself doesn't look like a major improvement, but if you look, if there's repainting, refurbishing, that's resurfacing of basketball courts. Well, I would couple item number two with number 29, with number 18, with number 36, with number 39, and number 51. Because they kind of work together. And then I bid the whole thing as a package and get, and hopefully realize the savings. And I think the short of it is, I think when we talked about this, I think that's what you were inferring. I hope I picked up on it, that you would want us to look at it not as individual projects, but where we could realize some savings. What you have in front of you is really just the basic information. And we just need a little bit more time to try to see if we can have something to present to the board or to the committee.
Just real quick on my part, I think what we need to do is look at where there could be possibly real savings, where there could be value engineering, as well as where what projects are most important. So I think we need to take all factors into place and look at how to prioritize that. What I would like to see from here on out, especially once we start using this, is what is the savings to the district? We have the projected budget, but let's see what the savings is once we did bid it out, or once we did finalize that project. Yeah,
we find another column says savings.
Mm-hmm. And so that way we can look at that. Now the on the number two, you have it separate from 6-8.
On part one.
Is that pretty much around the same? If you're doing it, wouldn't that be around the same? Or
that's what?
The sidewalk, ponding, pedestrian, isn't that the same type of work?
Well, maybe I can explain. On the playground courts, most of them are paving related. In other words, that's asphalt type work. And sidewalks, a paver probably won't do sidewalks, won't do concrete. You have your concrete guy, but the paver, who requires a big machinery, larger equipment, that's why I would couple with item number 29.
Couldn't we look at maybe the person who has that big equipment as well to the other projects and combine
them? Yes, definitely. And that's what I was referring to earlier when I was saying that I would couple them with other projects that are in this list, and I need some time to look at them and put them together so that then we can bid them as one major project.
And the only reason we're not saying is because you have them in two different, you have the two as a proposal, and you have 6 and 8 as general bids. So that's just, I don't know if that's just a mistake or what.
No, right now it's just you know, what I'm looking at as general proposal, that's what I thought initially as I put them down as a list. Now, when I start grouping these things, then I would, you know, reevaluate that and probably put in a different line item. And in that case, I think it would still fall under general bid. We'd have to be such a big project that we'd have to, you know, be behooved to throw it out to bid because it'll turn out to be a large project.
The other thing that I would like to see, depending on when we prioritize and we start looking at this, I would like to see a timeline sort of like what production and operation usually use. I forgot what that timeline is, the correct terminology of the timeline. Big projects use it, whether it's production or construction.
Oh, like a GMP or, I mean, a Gantt chart or something?
Yeah, I guess it's called a Gantt chart. We have to do that in
Yeah,
but that's something that I would like to see. Where in that year is that project going to start?
Right.
When is that going to finish? So that way we have an understanding of the whole bond program as well.
Right.
So I would like
Correct.
To see that when we get a chance. I you know what I'm talking
yes,
about.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Once we reach a point at which what groups together, what gets prioritized, then we can develop that chart as to what projects occur at begin and what time in the year or in the following year.
And that's all I have right now. But Ms. Quintana, do you have?
Yes, I have a question. I know you're grouping them and I understand why you're doing that, but I'm pretty sure that each one of the campuses, like say the drinking fountains, they don't all require the same exact thing for each campus, correct?
No, they do. It turns out that when it says drinking fountains, and maybe that's a misnomer, it's in electric water coolers in the inside.
So they require the same amount
the same
for every campus?
Yeah. Well, and not the
like
same
an identical order?
Yes, an identical product. In other words, we're buying the same drinking electric water cooler for all three campuses in this case. There are only
and
three
the same
campuses.
Amount?
Yes.
And that would be the
actually,
same amount for
no,
the band drum line.
I take that back. So not the same amount. You're correct in saying that not all of them require the same amount.
Okay.
They all differ because what this doesn't say is that this package of electric water coolers were put in there because they were supposed to replace the units that are not in conformance with Americans with Disabilities Act.
So then probably the price would be different. And I would just like
yes.
to see...
We'll break down
what,
the price.
Yes, the breakdown
yes, definitely.
Of each campus.
Well,
and
we could do that.
And probably they'll have also different completion dates, correct?
Yes.
Because I don't think they'll all be completed at exactly the same time.
We're... In fact, this one in specific is one of the 21 projects.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
And we expect to be finished before the beginning of the year. The number has already come in, mm-hmm. and it's way way below what we anticipated. For the number of electric water coolers that we're replacing, and yes, we can give you a breakdown as
so
to
yes,
how much
so all the ones that are grouped, I'll be able to.
Yes, we'll do that.
I'll be able to see.
I'll do a line item just to separate the numbers.
Yeah, because all of them that are grouped, I imagine, are not completely 100%
yes,
identical orders.
And not all of them, yes, you're absolutely right. Not all of them are going to. If one building, like say, for example, the ones that we need to replace at DDE are 10 electric water coolers. The ones at CES, as we walk through them, are only 7. The ones at BCE are 10. And they differ only because throughout the year, like at CES, we had replaced some of them. So we don't have to come in and replace that one, but we're replacing the old one.
So how much money is spent on each campus would be different?
We will provide you that, yes.
You will also, if I may, you will also note that when we do the line items on the actual reporting, on the construction reporting, it might be the same project, say, the fountains, where the sub-object will designate that it's a fountain project. However, the organization will say 104, you know, we budgeted 10,000 and 105 will probably be 6,000 or whatever the case might be.
Is that it, Ms. Quintana, Ms. Mendoza?
Mr. Almendares. realize the summer projects that you have listed here are going to be completed by mostly in-house, correct? With the exception
of... That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, no, I mean, you have a lot that are contractors.
Yeah, but yeah, the ones that, you see where it says district?
Right.
Yeah, those will be, I'm looking at those being in-house.
Okay. In addition to the part two of the facilities, there's a lot of projects also that will be completed by the summer. For example, the new bus purchase.
Yes, there's some that are gonna. Yeah, they just they're not in the summer.
That automatically will be.
Yes.
Completed, correct?
That's correct.
And I like the format. It's easy to read.
Okay.
It's easy to follow. Thank you.
We'll streamline it to work with all the ideas that you bring us and give you all that information. It's like Dr. Murphy says, he wants it as transparent as anybody can look at it and say, this is what's happening here. And we can do that.
I like the format too. Very nice and nice big print.
Big.
Really like that.
Get it for myself. I just wait. No. Okay.
That's it. Thank you.
Through the chair, I do have a comment about the format that you brought up. Ernesto, I see four columns that we very well are going to need to put in. First of all, we need a priority column, mm-hmm. like priority one, priority two, priority three. And we could very quickly, as a team of eight and as an administration, go through and prioritize if we had a column to do
right.
I think also we need a column of combined with item one, item 9, 38, 45 would be the optimal combination. Right. Over on the start date, completion date, in between start date and completion date, I think we need an estimated length of time column. 2 months, 2 years, 6 months,
okay.
An estimated length of time. And then as Armando pointed out at the very end, we need a savings column, which right. would be the difference between the final cost and the budget.
What we realized the difference.
So that's four additional columns that we really need to do it. Also, I just want to inform the board, when we do our July 26th goal setting, certainly one of the overarching goals needs to be the management of the bond and careful checking as we go through. And that would be one of my personal goals that I would bring to you in July, that it would become a major goal for us to follow through on. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir, Mr.
Yes.
I was looking at one of the things that I would like to see when you're actually providing a bid to, whether it's a proposal or a bid, on your request, I would like to see a request form. And then I would like to see the bids when they come in. So that way we have that information as backup. So your request form on your request, and then the bid form. I mean the bids that come in.
The bids that actually yeah. come in, yes. Not a problem. We typically provide that to purchasing. It would be easy for us to just attach it as information.
Okay. And then the other question that I have is, do we have the correct budget to build a second element in the K-8?
Is the monies that we set aside would be appropriate? Based on the numbers that we ran real quickly, square foot costs, we should be able to do it, yes.
Okay. Ms. Searles? Mr. Cornello?
I just, the only other thing besides the priority is the amount of funding that's available between now and the next funding of the second purchase.
First part, second part.
We need to, that's going to come into our priority issues, mm-hmm. whether we can do them or not. So I think what we need to do is. We need to prioritize actually two periods between now and mm-hmm. yeah. next December, mm-hmm.
not this December, but next December, and then from December post.
Right, because of...
For funds that we have available.
Funds, yeah. Bonds, right.
Right, so
maybe in the priority column we could say 1.1, which would be part one, one priority. 1.2 would be part one, second priority.
Right, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll so that's number five, I guess, in the column.
Well, no, I think it could be combined with the priority column. Okay. Just we'd use a double number system. Okay. That would be a one or a two for part one or part two of the bond funding. And then a dot, and then at the other side of the dot would be one, two, or three other priorities.
And obviously what's going to give us a big deal is how we time the big ticket items. Like, for example, the PK through 8. There's no question that we got to start doing something now. And it's going to take some, I mean, doing the land purchase, we got to move forward with the design. Once we get the design, start going out for bid on certain items so that we can then get a GMP and lock down the final contract and then move forward. So we're gonna have expenditures, and we don't want a lack of money to be the reason that we delay things. So we wanna make sure that we have enough funds between now and next December to allot first to the PK through 8 that we're gonna need, and then start with our priority on the other amounts. Because I don't want us to be in the middle of the PK through 8 and we've used up money for other priorities when that's going to delay that. I think the big ticket items need to have a priority, and some of the big ticket items really are, like, for example, the PK through 8, and then the safety issues like the wetlands, the CMS hookup to the sewer system. Should be, you know, we need to look in terms of whether it's a safety issue or not, and PK through 8 obviously is probably going to be a number one priority because it's going to involve both parts of the bond.
Right.
We can't do it with one part and then not do anything else, right?
That's correct.
So we need to time these issues and see how much funds we're actually going to need for PK through 8 first between now and next December. Which I think then after that, that'll give us an allotment of how we can structure the, and whether we have enough money for a priority for the next items. So that's the only thing.
Okay, I just have a question. One of the other columns, and I just need to clarify, the priority column that y'all are intending to add, would that reflect dependency as well? Because I know typically on Gantt charts, that's one of the key elements that determines the order or sequence of ability to do anything. And if I understand correctly, there is a possibility that we may combine several of these projects that may share a common priority, but within that priority, there may be interdependencies amongst them.
Right.
And so, again, just a suggestion that if a dependency problem will help as well, mm-hmm. you may consider anything.
Right. And that's a good idea. The dependency column, and the fact that we combine them and go out for bid doesn't mean we have to spend the money on both of them right away. As long as the contract is out for both of them,
right.
We can specify that, you know, depending on when they do part of it and when they do the other part.
Right. In fact, there are some projects that we can provide. Say, if you start this one, you won't be able to do the work. You know, your price will have to hold for the next 8 months.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Unless it goes down.
Yeah.
Unless we start seeing numbers go down, then we'll...
As the economy starts to collapse. We'd like your limit surprise.
That might be a good thing.
Okay. All right. That's all I have.
I have something to say. Could I say one thing? You know, I know there's... As I've been sitting here listening to us all talk and looking at this, I know there's money to renovate this building, and if that goes forth, the way this building's set up, it'd be so nice if y'all had a walking track in here instead of just carpet on a hard floor that during lunch everybody could get out of their office and walk around, and we could also, as board members, come up and walk around in the cool.
We're
going to
discuss that.
I'm sorry, Mr. Rodriguez. No, I have to go to the principal's office.
We could discuss it here,
no, but I just,
because it's part of the bond program.
It was a, just a thought.
Projects, but there might be what we need to discuss. Yes.
We need to discuss long-term. Whether we're even going to have this building.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Anything else? Ms. Gossett?
No.
No? I guess when you get that GAT thing, we'll, I think that would help us out a lot more. And the other thing is, like what Mr. Coronado said, if that is, you know, the design phase, okay, then we have a design phase, then we'll, you know, this is when we'll have the construction phase, and here we'll go from there and see how it goes on that. I guess with that, any other questions? No?
We are going to revisit this discussion on Tuesday night, part two. Ernesto, one of the things I would like to see is this, on part one, the start dates, you only have about half the start dates for the projects on part one. I would like to see the start dates for all the projects on part one by Tuesday night. And we won't have that shared with the board over the weekend, but if we could have that for yes. Tuesday night, the start dates.
We can do that.
I would really appreciate it.
And the projected timeline on it.
And the project yes. And adding these columns.
Columns.
And
yeah. Four
so
columns.
If you want to come see me Monday morning, well, Monday at lunch, be busy in the morning, but we can do that, or you can start doing that over the weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else? No. Takes us to the next item.
Agenda item 2B, compliance calendar review. Okay.
Should be short since we already reviewed it, but I wanted on it. You know, I wanted to get the hang of it. Not necessarily so that way we can have it on the facilities audit meeting. Okay. Do you want me to just see if anybody has questions since you already? Is there anything added from?
There's nothing that's added or has changed. The only thing I did want to do, again, just to confirm based on the discussion of the last board meeting when this was presented, I believe there was a discussion that rather than having this presented on a monthly basis, there was a consideration to do it on a quarterly basis, and I just wanted to confirm that.
The compliance calendar is probably a monthly basis. What my understanding was possibly on the, and y'all could correct me if I'm wrong, but on the phone, the hotline, if we could get that on a quarterly basis. Does that sound okay?
Yes.
Yeah. So that, I mean, the hotline detailed and everything, we don't have to go it over on a monthly basis, but if we could get that on a quarterly basis, the compliance calendar, we want to see what's being updated and how either administration is addressing those issues or have they been addressed, so that way we could get those out. My concern is trying to get the ones closed out from 2006-2007 and then 2007-2008 and then trying to get them closed out. I'm trying to get them closed out so that way we just have one page, and so that way we have that process in place and there's those checks and balances and accountability along
the way. Chair, my suggestion on the hotline is that we probably do it just three times a year instead of four. I think what we ought to do is do one after the start of the year, which now our calendar is going to be July 1 to, I would say we can do November, December report, and then again like an April report, and then a final report at the end of June.
And what I've done, again, based on the request at the last board meeting, if you remember, we presented a number of different attributes that are collected based on the reports themselves, and there was a request to also add in another view to a number of those attributes by location or
right.
Campus type. And so I'm actually in the process of doing that, and my goal is to include the version of that updated report next week's packet. And so that what that'll do is that'll give you a view, it'll show you all of the statistics that were presented initially as well as the extended ones. And I've actually kind of added a few extra ones that I thought were relevant. And so that'll give you kind of the bigger picture. And then from that, you can narrow down to those specific items that you're most interested in, and we can kind of refine the quarterly report or the once every 4 months report, and kind of work that way. And what I've done is I've also included the latest statistics to include reports that were also received through the month of June, because the last time the information was presented, that was only through the end of May.
And the reason I think for the hotline is that we only get, what, 4 or 5 average?
Yeah, about
4 months.
Yeah. I can tell you in June we only got 1.
Yeah, and usually during the summer months we're not going to get many at all because we're not really in session.
If you go back and look at the actual charts, there's kind of
it's during the school time.
And the 2 winter months, December and January.
Right. So I think a good time to have the reports. I mean, really what we're looking at is a September to November is when, and that'd be a good time for the report, either November or December. Then we're not going to get any over the holidays, probably very little because we're off 2-3 weeks. And then the next time it's January to about April, right before when the next 4 months. I think those two periods we really want to see. So I think as long as we include the reports along then on the hotline, because that'll add about 16 or so average reports. That's a good number to take a look at every time or so.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I know that when we saw our hotline report, it looked like we had, and a large amount is not a very large amount, I think it's like 5, but sexual harassment calls. Does that tip off, gee, maybe we ought to go back and do training at this campus?
To clarify, the category was harassment in general.
Well, okay.
Harassment in a confrontational nature, maybe not so much sexual, mm-hmm. but yeah, that's one of the things that the reason that we slice and dice the data that way is to really be able to kind of make some high-level observations and then from those observations work with the administration to have discussion to really try to figure out what is the root cause here. Is it a matter of
possibly remediation comes with root cause instead of just going, yep, okay, they all are complaining.
Right.
Looks like another complaining day. Close the book up.
And another factor is you have to consider, the timeline.
Yes.
What are the trends in the timeline? Again, how far we present the information in that way so we can kind of just take a look and see if we can, take our best guess as to what the root cause is and then use that information then go and have discussion with various administration to figure out, whether it's issues that maybe you see a campus-specific trend or maybe you see an allegation category. For example, mm-hmm. one of the things that we saw a lot was inconsistent process.
Mm-hmm. And
like we talked about at the last meeting, that really has to do more with growing pains and the future need to start implementing more structure.
Yes.
So that we can kind of just maintain that sense of fairness across the board and
But there is thought of, we see a concentration of this, we're going to need to remediate and help instead of just acknowledge and move on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually those trends end up getting factored back into the audit plan in terms of, if there's any particular areas that we could actually do an audit in to maybe, either provide some assurance or maybe identify some better practices. That'll
okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez.
Any other questions? No? I guess I'll take this to the next agenda item. Thank you, Ms.
That was the last agenda item.
That was the last.
Okay. And the next item, which is? Okay. The next item to adjourn. By unanimous consent, without objection.
All right. Tony is putting your package together. If you can wait 10 minutes, great. If not, I'll take them out to your house.
I can wait.
I can wait. Too. Yeah.
You can go eat some more.
We're going to have the pot contest at the end of the year.
Well, we're going to have a roll.